Inevitable, a Sherlock fanfiction written by Anonymous at the Sherlock BBC Fic community at LiveJournal and read by Jenrin. There should have been a before, and there should have been an after. Distinct lines and boundaries are the things that make up John's day, and Sherlock has crossed them and moved them and jumped from one side to the other, like he's playing hopscotch in John's mind, but he has never before managed to remove them completely. But John can't remember when this began, because it wasn't when their lips collided, and he can't tell if it's ever going to finish, even when, if they pull apart, it'll still be there between them. All he knows right now is that it is. Logic and reasons. Sherlock could probably dictate the lot to you, say what actions had led up to it and what reactions had been unavoidable. John's partly sure that Sherlock must have been planning this all along, because that is what he does. He has plans, and he sees things coming, and he manipulates people into everything, and... Sherlock's hand is at the small of his back, thumb edged under the hem of his shirt, leather glove brushing against skin, and that's far, far more erotic than it has any right to be. Especially here. Especially now. Especially with this audience. John's brain should be switching off. He should be carried away in this, because it's the kind of kiss that carries you away with the insistence and pressure of lips and the almost too much teeth that he can't resist running his tongue around, along, down, up. There is the taste that seems to be drowning him, and the sounds, just the smallest sounds of Sherlock's breath, hitching, like this is affecting him, like this is breaking through that barrier, and John knows that that, more than anything, is going to stay with him. But Sherlock has been a bad influence on him. While he should just be hanging on for the ride, his mind is listing and analysing. The heat of the body pressed against him, the texture of the thick coat underneath his fingers, where he's grasping it and pulling, pulling, desperate to be closer. The rasp of scarf against his own chin, catching on his stubble a bit every time. The light breeze that is making him realise just how hot his ears have become. The burn in his lungs as he realizes that he's forgetting to breathe, but breathing, as Sherlock has told him, is boring. And this is fascinating. If he moves his tongue just so, Sherlock sags against him a little more. If he moves his body to the side, he can get their bodies that little bit closer together, but still not close enough. His blood is pumping through his veins hard and fast. He can hear it in his ears, the roar of his pulse and the curious white noise that always comes when your brain is excluding sound. He concentrates on drawing in a breath through his nose, giving in to necessity. The adrenaline, probably, is what brought them to this. Hours of thinking dead, 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 and please, please, please. Running from one end of London to another without pausing to think or sleep or eat. His mind has been on Sherlock all day, more than usual, cataloguing the things he would miss. The way Sherlock laughs abruptly, or the genuine smile he gives when he knows that only John is watching. His way of insulting people without meaning to at all, and his way of insulting people when he means every word. Rooftop chases and inappropriate jokes, mocking Anderson and Mycroft and the people on the telly, hearing about the lives of people he has never met, and knowing that he has the ear and the friendship of the greatest man he has ever known. Losing the insanity and the brilliance and the life again. That might have been the beginning, but then that might just have been when he realized it. No beginning. John thinks all of a sudden there was no beginning to this, because he could never have prevented this. It feels right in a way beyond logic and reason. The pressure of Sherlock's hands, the feel of his hair where John's hand winds itself into it, his mouth hot and just, this never started, because it's the sort of thing that's always been. If John believed in fate, he would cite it now, but he doesn't. He just knows that this was unavoidable, from the moment he walked past Mike on that bench, from the moment he was shot, from the moment he joined up, from the moment he was born. He opens his eyes for a fraction of a second, and his vision is just a blur of pale skin and dark hair. Then Sherlock puts his other hand in John's hair and tilts his face sideways, and that is better and different, and John could do this for days, for years, and not care about normal concerns, as he so often doesn't care anymore, as Sherlock has taught him, because normal is boring, boring, boring. The rushing in his ears fades, and he is dimly aware of Lestrade's voice asking, haltingly, if they'd prefer to have this reunion somewhere that isn't the middle of a road and a crime scene. Sherlock pulls back, but it's not over, never over. They're still wrapped up in each other. John opens his eyes. Their faces are just far enough away from each other to be clear, and Sherlock is smiling, properly smiling. John knows he's smiling back, not a full smile, just a private quirk of the lips. Later, Sherlock says. Later, John agrees. And they turn back to reality and the case at hand. The end.